Lord, may the words that I speak this morning be that of the Holy Spirit, and not my own interpretation, but that which comes straight from heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got past the introduction last week. But now we really dive into the meat of what has historically been a huge, I don't want to call it a debate, but I guess you would call it a debate, or at least a mindset in pastors and teachers in God's Word about the following verses that we're going to read. The main subject, predestination, has had its interpretation go in so many different directions. There are camps that say that God has ordained who's going to be saved, and it doesn't matter whether when you're born, what you decide to do with life, He's already decided it, so live any way you want. And then there's others that feel that, well, you know, that's not the case, that we do have a choice in life, and, you know, the predestination has something to do with something different and the meaning behind it. I pray that this morning clarity will come for you, not because I'm explaining it, but because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will dig deep into your spirit and show you plainly what Paul was meaning when he wrote these verses from prison, and that our life lived for Jesus Christ is a choice that we make on a day-by-day basis because we're made in His image and God gives us free will. And so keep that in mind as we study these next verses, and then you decide, after having heard this morning and having read the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to give you insight into this beginning of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, which is, again, one of the more central themes of our Christian faith. So let's just do it. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Paul writes this, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the Father. The Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Leave that up, if you will. Okay, leave the scripture up there during this first part. I'll tell you when to change it. So the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Oh boy, that in itself could probably preach for years. The Father's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, but there's a caveat here. In the heavenly places, in Christ. In the heavenly places, in Christ. That's where the blessing comes. Every spiritual blessing comes through or in Christ or through the heavenly places. Your blessing doesn't come from your government. Your blessing doesn't come even from your family. Your blessing doesn't come from the things that the earth produces. Your blessing comes through or in Jesus. It comes through or in the heavenly places. It's coming from the Father. It's not coming anywhere from Satan, the demons, this world, anywhere else in your life. There's only one avenue where you'll get every spiritual blessing that God has out there for you, and that's in Christ or through Christ or in the heavenly places or through God in the heavenly realm. Wow. Okay, keep that up there. Blessed, it's the word E-U-L-E-G-O, eulego, or eulego, or wherever you come from, whether it's New Hampshire or down here, whatever. Eulego means to speak well of. To speak well of. It's used three times in this verse. Three times. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I think it's important. one verse three times. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. God Almighty has spoken every, listen, He has spoken, it says, every good thing about us that He needs to say, and every word God has spoken is filled with all the power necessary for that good thing, that spiritual blessing, to come to pass in your life. All the power necessary exists in the Godhead that for every good thing, every spiritual blessing He desires you to have through Christ in those heavenly places, right to you, He's got the power necessary to bring it to pass in your life, and you've got to believe that. All the power necessary, every spiritual blessing through our Savior Jesus Christ. God has the power to bring it to pass in your life. Now, since God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, don't you think in turn we should bless Him? I mean, I want you to know in all of eternity, you're blessed. You know, whether here on this earth and throughout eternity in heaven, every spiritual blessing is yours through Christ. And God has the power to administrate that to you and will. Therefore, in turn, our response to that blessing should in turn be to bless God. Well, Pastor, we're just people. How do we bless God? Well, how about your faith and obedience? Those are two. And see, faith and obedience are really one. If you love me, you'll obey me. And faith without a demonstration of it or without works is dead. And it, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You want to bless God? Let your faith and your obedience honor Him. That's your spiritual service of worship. You preached on Romans 12, 1 and 2 with the ladies on Saturday. Our bodies are a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Our faith and our obedience as we move through life and obey the Word of God, that becomes our living blessing. Or, you know, how did they bless God in the Old Testament? They sacrificed all those animals. Well, you don't have to be an animal to be sacrificed anymore. You're an animal and you're a living sacrifice. You don't have to be strapped to this altar and slain in order to bless God. You're released from the altar to go out and be a blessing to all. Faith and obedience will bless God in return. Blessed, blessed, and blessed. So when you read this verse over and over again, when you study this, understand that every spiritual blessing has all the power in it to be a part of your life as you walk in faith and obedience to God, because it pleases Him and He desires His children to walk in His blessing. He wants you to walk in His blessing. Let's look at verse 4. Whew, here we go. Just as He chose us, but how did He choose us? In Him. Okay, there's a place where you're chosen, and the place where you're chosen from, it's like if I'm picking a team, and I'm trying to see who's going to be on what team, and I want to pick Dan on my team, or, you know, I want to go over here and pick Maria on my team, okay? I choose you from where you are. If you don't show up, if you're not there, I can't pick you for my team. Boy, I'd really like to have this person as on my team because they're really good and they could really happen. Are they here? No, they're not here. All right, well, then I'll pick so-and-so. And, you know, you all do it. You pick the best first and you pick the worst last. Well, you know what? In the spiritual kingdom of God, sometimes He picks the worst first and the best last. He loves to do that to show His power of what He can do with the worst thing. He can make him the best thing. He chooses us through Christ. We have to be in Him. And He did that, and He made that decision that He would choose us in Christ, right? Because Christ didn't even show up until only 2,000 years ago. But God's outside of time. And He knew those whom He would save would be those that would be in Christ or decide to go through Christ, because there's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through or Him or by Him or in Him. So He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He made that decision. There's only one way, and there will be only one way, no matter what the world may say. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. That means when you're in Christ, we are covered or cloaked with His righteousness, as if you could be so holy and blameless before God on your own. Right? We would be holy and blameless before Him. How can we stand holy and blameless before Father God? Through Jesus. If Jesus doesn't cloak you, if you don't have His righteousness, if you haven't chosen Him, there is no way you can stand before the Father holy and blameless. It's Jesus who makes us holy and blameless. Not you. You don't earn holiness and blamelessness. Anybody who thinks that, full of pride, and they're going to end up just like Satan did. That's you can't do this thing on your own. You're the created one, not the creator, okay? Let me just remind you of that. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. But you know that we're holy and blameless before Him. You got to go back to the in Him part. In Him, He chose us blameless before Him. Now, go on. Well, no, just stay there. Leave that. In Him, that expression, in Him, means this. It means that we are abiding in, we are living in, listen now, we're remaining in, we're continuing in, and we're dwelling in His nature and character. You need to get that. Him is His nature and character. In, the word in, is abiding, living, remaining, continuing, and dwelling. Because if I step out, I'm not dwelling in. I'm not abiding in. I'm not continuing in. I'm not remaining in. I'm out here. But in Christ, I abide, I dwell, I live, I remain, I continue. In Revelation, it says those who are faithful to the end, those that remain in Him to the end, those that will receive the crown of life, that has to indicate that, you know, man still has choice. Otherwise, it would not be written. Otherwise, Jesus would not have come and died. If God had already chosen everybody before the foundation of the world of who He's going to save and who He's not going to save, why put the other people in the world? There's no purpose. It doesn't make sense. Not that it should. Nothing does make sense when we're in the spirit realm sometimes. God will reveal His mysteries, and things do make sense when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, and I pray He will today and this morning. But He chose us to abide in Him, to live in Him, to remain in Him, to continue in, you know, stand strong in your faith. Why does He tell us to stand? He said, lay down. What's the difference? Why do you have to stand? You don't have to remain. It's already a done deal. Every scripture alludes to the fact that we have to stay in faith, in Christ, abide, stand strong to the end. It's an enduring process. When tribulation comes, doesn't matter, why don't you just lay down? No, we have to fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight because the faith is trying to be stolen by the enemy. And if he couldn't steal it, why try? Why? Satan's not stupid. He's not going to waste his time on you if he already knows God hadn't chosen you. Or he has. Then he'd already have you. What's the point of going after somebody who's automatically in without their own choice? It just doesn't register. And he wrote this to us so that it would register. Remaining, continuing, dwelling, abiding, living in his nature and character. What does that mean? We can't just live any way we want. In him means we're living under his nature and his character. His holiness, his doing what's right regardless of the cost, making the decisions according to the word of God and not the world, or even your own opinions about it, or others' opinions about it, or being swayed or influenced by peer pressure, or family pressure. Oh, gee, I don't want to upset my son or my daughter or my mother or my father or my grandma or my grandpa, so I'm not going to give him the truth. Oh, please. Your Father in heaven requires truth. And then the only person that suffers, well, I shouldn't say the only person that suffers, you'll not just only suffer, but the people who are influencing you to go in the wrong direction are already going to suffer. We have to abide, folks. Abiding means living and remaining and continuing in and spending time with the one who's given you life everlasting forevermore. Again, note that it says he chose those that are in him to be holy or set apart for himself. Adam and Eve chose not to abide in him. They exercised their free will to rebel against God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ who gives us that opportunity to return. Because when you've done that, you've separated yourself from the Father. And the only way to get that separation gap closed and get back into the Father's good grace and love and covering and all of that is through or in Christ. Not Harry Potter. Not Harry Potter. Not Hare Krishna. Not, you know, there is no Buddha to do it or Muhammad's not going to do it for you. All the above. Thank you. There's only one way. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, sent by the Father to do his will and to bring those into the kingdom that would choose this day whom they would serve. The message has not changed. Adam and Eve said no. So spiritual separation did occur. But now listen, as I just said, God's a God of what? He is, it defines him as love. God is love. And his and it says here, but because of God's love for us and the kind intention of his will, which we'll read about. The kind, the love, the intention of what he's purposed for us. He loves us so much. He wants us with him so much. That through Jesus Christ, his Son, he made available adoption. Whether you realize it or not, you're adopted. Because of Adam and Eve, we were born into sin. We were born into the family of the enemy. Rebellion. We were born into rebellion because it was passed down from Adam and Eve. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, we can be adopted. Once again, it's a choice. We make ourselves available for adoption through Jesus Christ. It's a way back, you can say, if you will. Having predestined, determining beforehand, that means that those who would choose to be in him, in Christ, would be saved from sin and accepted back as sons. Predestination is God determining beforehand that those who choose by an act of their will to go through Christ would be adopted and brought back into favor with God. I hope that makes sense. This God choosing beforehand, you're going to be saved, and it has nothing to do with whether you decide to serve Jesus or not serve Jesus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care how you explain it any other way. It doesn't compute according to God's word. He determined beforehand that those who would choose, I say it again, to be in him, in Christ would be saved from sin and accepted back as sons. That means if you choose not to choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're hellbound because you're still a son of the devil. You no longer make, you're not adopted. You choose, you know what? God comes to adopt you. He offers you the adoption and says, look, I'm going to adopt you as one of my own. You're part of the family of God. You're a new creation. You're the ecclesia. You're the called out from the world. You're the called out from Satan's family. I'm going to snatch you from the hand of the enemy. Jesus takes us right out of the pit of hell and puts us right up into the Father in heaven. That's what adoption is. So have you made yourself available for adoption? Do you choose to be in God's family? Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us. That means he decided beforehand this adoption process. He predestined us to adoption as sons again through Jesus Christ to himself. There's no other way, folks. There's not an automation process or an automat that you can go to and or that God went to and says, okay, I'm gonna go to the lottery and I'm gonna go, wham. Now, Teresa's saved and Scott's saved, but you know, these guys aren't, and these guys aren't, but he'll be saved. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Why? According to that loving, kind intention of his will. He purposed before the foundation of the world that those who would choose to obey and love by faith his son, Jesus Christ, and live in the kingdom and want to be with him would come to be with him according to the loving process of his own will. That's what that means. He did this adoption process through the kind intention of his will. He could have done like what happened with Noah's day. I'm fed up with this people. They're a rebellious people. And you know what? I'm just going to wipe them out. Even with Moses. You know what, Moses, you're faithful. I'm going to bring you and your family and the rest of them. That's it. And Moses did what? Intercessors. Intercessors. Moses changed the heart of God. He's no respecter of persons. You can do that. Come, you're like, no, I can't. Yeah, why not? Intercession is intercession. Moses had favor with God because he had faith and obedience. But he was still a man, and there's still times we saw where he went, eh. So don't condemn yourself. Just change and be convicted, right? According to the kind intention of his will, he desires all men to be saved. Every single man that he's ever placed, woman, child, on this planet, that's his heart's desire. But the only way to get in there is through Christ. Because before the foundation of the world, he predestined that those that are in Christ would be his. Some of you still have a few questions that will be answered as I go here to explain the almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God who knows everything. We'll get there. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew. For those whom he foreknew. He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Stay there and leave it. For those whom he foreknew, that tells me God's outside of time. That tells me God is a God of the past, the present, and the future, and can go forward, can go backward, can go sideways, can go up, can go down, can twirl around. God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's almighty. We can't even begin to understand the complexity and the understanding and the foreknowledge of God. But he can. He can go all the way back and look at all those people who chose him and know. Now, you don't know. You still have to make the choice. But God can go back into the past and go, I knew you before you were born. I knew you before your mother's womb. I knit you in your mother's womb. He knows the end of your life, the beginning of your life. He ordains your days. You won't go a day before he tells you. It's your time in Christ. You need to, that one, you got to wrap your brain around that. That's that part of predestination. People are getting confused, and I'll explain that in a minute too. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. That means that as we follow Christ and we follow his nature and we follow his character, we're going to follow him right back to the Father. Right? The ones that are going to go in Christ or through Christ, he is going to conform to the image of his son. And one day we will know in full. And it won't be oblique. It will not be opaque. It will not be kind of fuzzy for you. It is going to be in the image of him fully. So in other words, those that are predestined to be in Christ, that will go through Christ, will become conformed to the image of his son. How? By your efforts? No. By God going, I love them so much that I put my righteousness upon them. And I see them as being what? Righteous before me. Not of their own accord, but it's the righteousness of Christ in them. God ministers to our spirit, man. He didn't minister to the rest of us. Spirit to spirit. Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren who would choose to go through him. And because we choose Christ, we get conformed. It's a supernatural thing. When you accept Christ, when we tell people, look, if you just pray the prayer and accept Christ and you mean it in your heart and stuff like that, you're immediately adopted into God's family and you're conformed into the image of his son. He cloaks you with his righteousness. When God looks at you, he looks through Jesus. Not because of what you've done or who you are or what you've done, but it's who he is and now is in you that makes the difference, all the difference. God's foreknowledge in Scripture, or we could say predestination or determining beforehand, right, is always, listen to me, he predestines is always unto salvation and never and not unto eternal damnation. God is not, because, you know, look at the whole picture here. If he's predestined only certain people to be saved, that means he's predestined people to go to hell. That is not our God. Because those that aren't chosen to go to heaven are going to hell. There's only two places. And I'm here to tell you that it's God predestining beforehand always is unto salvation. He predestines all men to be saved. So we know that statement says he wants everyone to be saved. And the only reason we don't go is because we don't choose to be adopted. He made a way when there was no other way, and we didn't take that way. We chose to go this way instead of that way. Yahweh, Christ's way. He has always unto salvation. He is always predestining us to salvation and not to eternal damnation. In other words, God never foreordains someone to be lost. That's not his nature. That's not his character. That's not what I read between Genesis and Revelation of who God is. It should be understood that God simply allows, meaning the lost are permitted to suffer the consequences of their choice of sin. I'm going to say that again. God allows the lost. They are permitted to suffer the consequences of their choice of sinning or not coming to Christ. They blame God. What is God? Quit blaming God for the choices you make. 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. And that's not what I wanted there. 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. That's both. Oh, wait a minute. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed. They were appointed to that because of the choices that they made to rebel against God and to be disobedient and not to be in Christ. So there is an appointment for those who disbelieve and do not choose Christ that is foreordained to go to hell. God plainly has heaven and hell as the choice for mankind. It was a choice for the angels at one time, and one third of them, they went with Satan and said, nope, the kingdom of God, no. We're gonna go with him who will suffer the eternal fires where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a real place. It's described in the Bible all the time. But there is an appointed time for those who have never chosen Christ to go there if in their lifetime they did not make that decision. Otherwise, the cross is the decision of where you go. For those who are disbelieving and disobedient, it has been appointed, decided on beforehand. Right? God, same decision-making process as he did for those who are choosing in him, right? This deciding beforehand, it's their choice. Their choice would lead them to doom. So Peter gets in the action, as well as Paul, to confirm that God knows everything. He really does. He's outside of time. But he offers us, who live in the present time, a choice that we should make. Does God, being all-knowing and outside of time, know our choices, as I said? Absolutely. Absolutely. But this does not relieve man of his responsibility to believe the gospel in order to bring to pass personally God's predestination of adoption as sons. That says it all right there, the whole sermon, and I'm going to say it again. Does God, all-knowing and outside of time, know our choices? Absolutely. But it never relieves man of his responsibility to believe the gospel in order to bring to pass personally God's predestination for us as adoption as sons. So, both sides of the coin are presented in Scripture. Here it is. God knows, and yet we choose. God knows. He's outside of time. He's eternally past, eternally present, and eternally future. God knows. It's just a fact. He's God Almighty. But we choose. And because of the choice that we make, which God already knew because he's outside of time. He knows the future, he knows the past, and he knows the present. So our responsibility remains the same. You cannot lay down and just assume that, well, this choice has already been made, and God's made it so I can live like the devil because it doesn't matter. I'm either going or I'm not. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. Only God Almighty has the secret ballot. But it's not even a secret. He's seen your life. He's seen the choice that you made. So free will matters. Remaining in Christ matters. Abiding in Christ matters. Going through Christ matters. Making him Lord and Savior of your life matters. And it is a choice that you make. Again, I'll say it again because it's so important. We cannot rationalize, nor should we even begin to reason, that God has already pre-planned those who would be saved, so therefore, why not live any way we want? I mean, really? Would God really go do that? Yeah, let them live any way they want. They ain't going anyway. I chose them to go to hell. If only those who teach. And I pray, you know, I'll have to stand before God one day and go, okay, Lord, did I miss it? I don't think so. Your nature and your character is clearly revealed in the Bible, and you're a God of love, and you predestined that all men be saved. But you also told us that without Christ, we're lost. You did say there is a hell, and there would be those that would make the choice and go to hell. There is a great white throne judgment. So there has to be. Now, I just don't believe that God is not, he's going to give us the opportunity because he created us in his image to make that choice. He's not going to take choice away from us. We have to go all the way back to the garden where he gave Adam and Eve choice. Why would he deny us choice? Do not confuse being all-knowing with pre-planning someone's choice. Don't make the mistake, and don't get confused, of being all-knowing, that is God, with pre-planning someone's choice. One more time, for emphasis, because this is the crust of what predestination is all about. Do not confuse being outside of time and all-knowing with pre-planning someone's choice. Because if you do that, it no longer is choice. Hello? And it would eliminate completely free will. And so then when you go back to the garden, why did God give Adam and Eve a choice? Because according to the other people who teach this, they didn't have a choice. I didn't see anybody twisting Eve's arm. Of course, I wasn't there, so I wouldn't have seen anything anyway. I didn't read about anybody twisting Eve's arm. God warned them of the consequences, that they would die if they made the wrong choice. But again, God being outside of time, already pre-planned that Jesus would save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him shall never die, but have eternal life. It all makes sense, and actually it almost sounds pretty simple. John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, Jesus speaking, you will die in your sins. You got to believe. It's a choice we make. One more verse today and we'll quit. Verse 6. Got time for one more verse. You even made me get out early today. How about that? Ephesians 6:1-6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Says this then, right after he talks about all this whole big theological predestination. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So here's, keep it up there, Brett. Keep it up there. Just keep that verse up there. To the praise of the glory of his grace. We praise the glory of the decision that God graced us, graced you, graced me. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. God just decided beforehand that those who would choose Christ would be adopted back into the family. When Adam and Eve chose to sin and everybody was condemned to hell, before that ever even happened, he predestined that Jesus Christ would be the answer for those who would choose him. Wow. He freely bestowed it upon us. In other words, it's free. But it's free in Christ. Show your Christ card and you're in. No Christ card, no in. Don't show them a 666. right? Show them the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is our seal. So when we exhibit a lifestyle of the Holy Spirit that's in us and stuff like that, then he knows that we truly are in relationship with his Son. Because the Son promised to send who? The Holy Spirit, who would come after him to seal us, which we'll get into because that's verses that are ahead, to seal us. Jesus Christ in heaven, I just want to remind you of one thing. He breaks seals. He opens seals. Seals can be broken. Covenants can be broken. Not by God, but by us. So if we're in covenant with God, God will never break covenant with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us, right? But we're in covenant with God. We certainly can. Many have. But some would say that we can't. That God's in covenant with us and won't let us break covenant. Well, there goes free will out the door again. There goes revelation that says, hey, you need to hold on. Keep the faith. Withstand the forces of the enemy. Endure to the end. What for? We're already here. Man, it's automatic. We said I do at the altar. There's no way we could ever get divorced. Yeah, tell that to couples. Just because you say I do doesn't mean you're going to do. And remain and abide and be other-oriented and withstand and persevere. And all these wonderful words that God said to do in him, because he knows that he doesn't want superficial, faithless Christians that just simply say, I do, and never have any action behind it. Right. When you're in Christ, that doesn't mean you're perfect and you're not going to backslide at any time or do all these things, because we know that that happens. Praise be to God, the blood is stronger than that. But don't change your heart. Don't walk away and give up and just simply say, it's not worth it, and say, you know, I'm going to go serve Satan. Now, I don't know what happened to Judas or whatever and stuff like that, but, you know, don't be in the flock and then all of a sudden decide that, you know, I want a little money here and I have some different motivation. I want Jesus to be, instead of being Savior, I want him to win the war over here and kill the Romans. And so therefore, I'm going to make a deal, and I believe in his heart that he was hoping that it would rile Jesus up and that he would take care of those Romans. But it didn't happen, and he regretted it afterwards. But he chose to walk away. Even Jesus looked at him. He walked out the door as Jesus even spoke to him and said that you're the one. Wow. So don't tell me that somebody can't make that choice, even when, I could never make that choice. All the miracles I've seen, all the things that I've done. Look at Israel and all the miracles they've seen. You know, one moment it's a miracle from God and we believe and you're our God and we'll serve you forever. And the next moment they're fornicating around a fire. Don't tell me human nature can't make a choice to say, I'm not going to endure, I'm not going to persevere. You can make a choice not to persevere or not endure or not to stay faithful to the end. Or we lose all that whole thing. Now, does God know that choice you're going to make beforehand? Yeah, but you don't, so get off of that. You're not God. Why try to get his perspective when you can't? Keep your own perspective. Keep your eyes on the cross. You're safe. Stay in Christ. You're sealed. Don't ever break covenant. Don't ever break that seal. Don't ever walk away. Don't ever think that you're so high and mighty that you can't do that. Satan did it. And he supposedly was the chief praise and worship leader in heaven. Obviously, it can happen, right? Put 1:6 back up there, Brett. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. We see God in everything. Isn't that a song? I see God in everything. Who sings that? I forget. Obviously, I don't. Okay? But we see God in everything, but best in His Son, where His grace is freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, in Him. You can see God in nature. You can see God in the words in this wonderful epistle of Jesus, really. God's message to us, right? You can see God in Teresa. I can, you know. I can see God in Bjorn. I can see God in all of you. I can see God out in nature. And when I look at the Nature Channel and I look at the intricate workings of a little heartbeat going on in a little inchworm, I can see God in a lot of things. But we see Him best in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, you can recognize God in a lot of places, but I'm telling you right now, it's only through Jesus Christ that we see Him the most clearly. And that's because, behold this, we see it best in His Son, where His grace is freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, in Him. You see it best on the person who lived a life horrid, was committed every sin that you could imagine and think of. And then because they accepted really and truly, personally, Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you look at that person, you go, what? That's grace. That's great. God could be the only one responsible for the change in that person right there. In Him, we see God's grace. God taking a heathenistic person like me, a wretch like me. Paul said, I am chief of sinners. And then giving me life everlasting, unblemished before God, where He says, what sin? Wow! That's the glory of grace. That's the praise and worship of grace. We can praise and worship because we're looked at by God as pure and holy. And God only knows, and we do too, that without Christ, that isn't the way we are. You remove Jesus out of the way and look out. Step aside. You don't want to be in that person's shoes. That's what the praise of the glory of what? Of that wonderful, magnificent, marvelous grace that He bestowed on us through Jesus. If that can't get your feet moving and your arms flying and your voice praising and shouting and dancing and whatever it is and however it is, all forms of praise to You, O God, because of the grace and the mercy that is bestowed upon us in Christ, nothing ever will. Then you're probably lost if you can't get excited about the fact that you have eternal life with the Father in heaven who's going to give us everything, every spiritual blessing we read about. Woo! That's a shout. It don't get any better than that. No football game can be any better than that worthy of a shout. Winning the $1 million lottery isn't worth that shout of a shout because that money's going to burn. It ain't going with you. But your eternal life in Christ shouts the glory of His praise. Praise of the glory of His because of His grace. You're saved, sanctified, and delivered because of Jesus. That ought to rustle you up and get you up and out and telling everybody of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful grace that's been put on you. And you guys can have that joy. What it should produce is joy and love and peace and patience and kindness, right? That's what we should see in each other. But that joy of the Lord, He said that, I believe that's why He said, that's your strength. Because you're hanging on to that to the end. Of course, love is mentioned first because that's who He is and that's who you should be. Without love, you really can't experience joy. And without that, you're never going to experience peace. And without peace, how can you have patience? How the Spirit rolls. Follow the trail. Folks, God's grace, God's blessings, God's salvation are all predestined for those in Him, not just randomly choosing people. Just read, again, I encourage you to read chapter 1 over and over again, and the Holy Spirit will show you. Verse 1, okay? I'm highlighting. Verse 1, this message is to those who are faithful in Christ. Verse 3, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, he chose us in him. Verse 5, he predestined us through Christ. Verse 6, grace freely bestowed in him. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. Verse 9, we know the mystery of his will in him. Verse 10, in him all things are summed up for us in regards to viewing what's to come. Verse 11 and 12, our inheritance awaits us, predestined for those who are in Christ. Verse 13, in him, repeated twice, having listened to the truth and believed, we're sealed or covered with the Holy Spirit. Folks, do not walk out from underneath your covering. Hello? Ephesians is all about being in Christ, abiding in, living in, remaining in, continuing in, and dwelling in him. Folks, we will celebrate the undeserved favor of his grace in Christ with expressions of praise. That's what it means. Okay? If it was back up there, that grace where it says about the expressions of the praise to the glory, the praise of the glory, that section, the praise of the glory of his grace, is that's what it means. It's the undeserved favor of his grace in Christ with expressions of praise for all of eternity. That praise is within us, and it's got to get out of us to God in response to being in him. So choose to worship the Lord alone and follow him only, for he has chosen you for adoption. So you now make the decision to accept his offer and follow him.